This is Morning Edition on KACU. I'm Heather Claiborne. Congress to Campus, a program from the Stennis Center for Public Service, has brought two former congressmen to Abilene. The program aims to educate young people on the legislative process, giving them a bit of a behind-the-scenes look at Congress. Former Congressman Jason Lewis and Nick Lamson talked yesterday with students at Abilene Christian University, and the pair will meet today with Abilene High School students. Congressman Jason Lewis, a Republican from Minnesota, won one of 2016's most competitive congressional races, defeating his Democratic opponent, Angie Craig, who came back last November and won the second contest. Congressman Nick Lamson is a Democrat who began serving Texas's 9th congressional district in 1997. After redistricting, he became the state's 22nd district representative, where he served until 2008. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
So I'm curious about what attracted each of you to participate in this program.
Public service. It's a great opportunity for us to go back to campuses. I love kids. I taught on a college campus at Lamar University in Beaumont for a number of years. And the ability to express what is going on in our Congress and hopefully inspire young people to follow in our footsteps to public service, whether it's through elected office or not, is the opportunity that the U.S. former members of Congress are working at, and it's a pleasure to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think you go into public service to have an impact, and what greater impact could you have than talking to young people who will determine the future of the country and the world and places like this. When the former members of Congress group came to me and said, would you like to be a member? I said, sure, but I'm not certain how active I'll be. And they said, well, you have this Congress to Campus program. I said, sign me up for that. So it's very gratifying and working with fine people like Nick as well and getting to know former members that were there when you weren't there. So there's lots of benefits to it.
Indeed.
So this is your first time to travel together, is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
And tell me a little bit about what your approach is. I mean, have you discussed an action plan or?
It's no, about yeah. as organized as Washington.
There you go. Jason asked me that last night, and I said, listen to the students.
Yeah, right.
So it's really about them.
Do you have anything that you want to communicate to them? Is there one bottom line thing that you're hoping to get a message across to the students that you meet with, both at the high school level and the college level?
There is for me, and it has to do with bipartisanship. We've got to end this hatred within our parties, political parties in the country, and our inability to work together to solve problems. It's critically important, and I honestly believe that if we don't find a way to address it and change it, that we could lose our democracy.
Yeah, I think polarization is a problem, and that's easy for me to say coming from a swing district. You have to be willing to reach out and work with the other side, and that's very, very important. But I also think candor is very important. That may be one reason why the former members of Congress group is popular. When a former member comes, sometimes, not always, but sometimes they can feel as though they can say things that maybe you wouldn't if you were in the seat. It's very important to me as a former broadcaster that we have a vigorous and robust debate and that we don't feel as though there are certain things we can't say. I can't tell you how many times we've heard people on the right and the left say, what we really need in this country is an honest dialogue. And then the moment somebody really approaches something sensitive, they get shut up. And that's of great concern to me.
I do agree. This is a particular moment in politics where both sides seem to be digging in and becoming more entrenched and drawing brighter lines. I'm old enough to remember when Democrats and Republicans worked together to accomplish legislation and find ways to compromise.
I just interject one moment there. I don't think so much that the ideological lines were any less bright going back, but I think the willingness to work together, even though they were opposed on 95, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan come to mind. Ted Kennedy and Ronald Reagan come to mind. They actually, I disagree with you on 95%, but I will work with you on the other 5%. And that's the other 5% is important.
And there's an organization called No Labels that's pushing for that. No Labels has had an impact with the group called Problem Solvers in Congress. And I'm hoping that those are the kinds of organizations that will begin to pull us together, put us in situations where we want to promote civility in the search for common ground.
Do you guys think that as social media has given people almost an anonymous way to attack people, and as campaigns have become, I think, a lot more personal in the past several years, that it's decreasing the interest that young people might have in participating.
Well, probably decreases the interest of sane young people or sane old people for that matter. But the fringes are actually being motivated by that. But you're absolutely correct. Social media, for all its wonderful benefits, has some downsides. Anonymity on social media especially is a problem. And that is instigating some of the more harsh rhetoric. I don't think there's any question. I come from 25 years in talk radio of all places. And I was just telling the folks here a while ago, that was just a warm-up for the internet. So there are some issues there, yeah.
Congressman Lampson, I know that you've done a couple of these stops before. I'm curious of what are the things that you're hearing from the young people? What are the questions they have? Do you have any particular moments with students that stand out in your mind?
Well, one happened here this morning with the first student that we got to visit with. He is studying chemistry and is anxious to go back to his native country and be able to solve a potential problem that could dramatically affect their economy. He began to talk about their problem and asked me of questions on the science committee and what work I might have done within the Congress. He seemed to be excited about the things that I told him, about research that I knew of, research that I had worked with other universities on. He is going to go back to his home and make a difference. That's the public service that we hope to inspire, regardless of from where it comes. But the kids seem to be there are some classes that are very difficult to get them to get them out of their shells and to talk. But others become very very vibrant in the discussion, and the range is from local issues to the national issues, and in many instances we'll get into a discussion that is very beneficial to the students. Again, my interest is trying my best to keep the focus on civility, respect. We want discourse, and we want to lead toward solutions to the problems.
I would say, too, the young people I've spoken with, not on this program, this is my first trip and glad to be at Abilene Christian on it, but in office and in the campaigns and in my previous career, there is a concern. Every generation wants this and every parent wants this for their children to have it better than they had. And I do believe there's an economic stratification where you're either going to make it really big or you're going to actually end up worse than your parents. And that concern in preparing young people for a very, very tough marketplace, I think, is on top of mind.
So when you think about talking to these young people, the Pew Research Center shows that millennials are actually voting pretty similarly to previous generations. How are you encouraging them in not only participating to vote, but making sure that they're getting good information to make their decisions in ways that align with what they, you know, would really support?
Congress to campus. And one of the points that Jason made this morning at our breakfast was how important it is for facilities of higher education to promote thought, get people to think about what is going on in their lives and what role they might be able to play to make this world a better place in which to live. It comes down to just simple that in my mind, and that is mind and mindfulness.
And diversity of thought. I mean, that's a real key. The campus is where you ought to be taught Marxism. You ought to be exposed to that. It's also where you ought to be taught free market capitalism. And certainly on the Republican side of things, being perfectly partisan, there's a concern in higher education that diversity isn't there. I don't think that's the case here from what I've seen. But in many campuses, it is. So it's great to work with people like Nick, though, who understands that is this incubator. This is the free marketplace of ideas on campus. You should be exposed to the right and the left. And that's what
Absolutely.
We can do for our students.
So if you had a student that said, you know, someday I want to run for Congress, what advice would you give them?
I'd sit them down and tell them to take 15 minutes and rethink it.
It's disheartening, I promise you. But I don't want to discourage someone from running. I think everyone ought to run for a public office. And perhaps if they experienced it and saw how they were treated, they would treat other people differently in the future. We don't need to trash our opponents. We don't need to trash anyone who is willing to give of themselves, whether it's for elected office or just to go and lead an effort to change some activity within a community. Public service is noble, and we've got to recognize it. And not just noble, but we have an obligation to give back to our community. We have to inspire young people to do that. So I would hope that they would consider running at some point in time in their lives. That's what John Connally, when he was governor of Texas in the late 60s, told me. I would say exactly the same thing to every student I have the opportunity of talking with.
No, and do it for the right reasons. If you're doing it for the right reason, the life, like I like to say, in 15-minute increments, and that is the life of a member of Congress. You are going from here to here to here for 13, 14 hours a day in Washington, D.C. In fact, one of the frustrations is you don't have the time you really need to drill down on some things. A lot of stuff is done on the fly, and that's because I think we're trying to do too much. But once something does get done, and once you are working across the aisle and you get a compromise, whether it's VA reform or opioid crisis legislation, that's when you say, okay, it was all worth it. Mm-hmm. That's when you get frustrated, then you get something over the line and you say it was all worth it. And that's very gratifying. And by the way, thanks to ACU for doing this. It takes a lot of commitment and dedication on the part of the university to do Congress to Campus, and not every university is willing to do it. So we're very appreciative. We're glad to be here.
And we thank KACU for hosting us this morning as well.
There you go.
Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know, either about the messages that you're bringing to students or about Congress to Campus in general?
Well, nothing more than what we've said. That is, that public service is a good calling if you're doing it for the right reason. If you're just building a resume, I'd suggest do something else. And soon you will find out it's not worth it, because it's not as glamorous as people think it is. So you have to have some level of dedication. And if you do, by all means, follow your dream. I think that's very important.
Hopefully someone will experience Congress. We need good leaders. We need people that are prepared to be able to take us into the future.
Is there one story from your experience in Congress that you enjoy telling the students, something that you feel really gives them a good perspective on what it's like to be a congressman?
I have one that comes to mind. I founded the Congressional Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children. One of the problems that we faced then and still face today are children, normally because of split marriages, internationally split marriages, kids being taken out of our country. 1 year of my service in Congress, I got up every time Congress convened and told a story about a different child being taken out of the United States. Most of those children would be taken to Germany. And so I bashed Germany every morning for a year. And along the way, one of my colleagues asked if I would come and have breakfast with some members of the German Bundestag who happened to be visiting in the capital. I did, and not much happened, but I did have some conversation with some folks. I went back to another one later, and over time, I joined this group, which was an interparliamentary assembly between Germany and the United States. I became chairman of that group, but along the way, the people that I was meeting with went back to Germany and changed their laws. That was a tremendous impact that happened because I extended my hand rather than my fist.
No, it's a great story. I ended up working with Representative Bobby Scott, a very dedicated Democrat from Virginia, on the Safe Justice Act, the second part of criminal justice reform. I was fortunate enough to get my bill, the Juvenile Justice Bill, signed into law last cycle. But this was sort of a follow-up to it. And I can remember we announced the bill, the Safe Justice Act. Sensenbrenner was on it years ago. I kind of took his place. And on one end was the NAACP and Families Against Mandatory Minimums. At the other end of the table was the Freedom Works and the American Conservative Union. And I looked across the room and I thought, do you want to talk about bipartisanship?
Yeah.
And it wasn't because we were reaching across the aisle because, for the purpose of reaching across the aisle. We each thought this bill was good for our own particular reasons, and many of them different. And that's how bipartisanship was supposed to work and can work.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
You bet.
Congressman Jason Lewis, a Republican of Minnesota, and Congressman Nick Lamson, a Democrat of Texas, will meet with Abilene High School students as well as students at Abilene Christian University today. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.